Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it is refreshing!
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
But yeah, from just a recent perspective, you look at it like, yeah, it's fine. It's just I think Kings fans also, again, I don't think this applies to players or staff or coaching or anything. I think this applies to fans and fans only, is fans look ahead. So they're looking at almost not just victories, but banking victories. Mm-hmm. Like, you've got to beat Portland when you're at the time significantly better than Portland. You know, Portland, again, you know, turn things around here a little bit, but you got to win that game. You got to beat New Orleans in this stretch. You've already beat them a couple of times. We're going into the All-Star break. You got to beat them, not because of the Charlottes or even the Golden States or the Utah. It's because, okay, well, now we've got Houston on the road. This Dallas game is really important. I don't know what Dallas is. I really don't. And you got Denver. And then it gets way worse. Not immediately with San Antonio, but, like, it gets way worse later in the month. And then you're out on like a 20-day road trip or something crazy like that. That's a slight exaggeration, but you're out on like a 6-game road trip or something.
Yeah, it's super lopsided too, because you're home for like 2 weeks and then you're gone for like a week and a half.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and those tough teams that the road trip, ironically, actually has the easier schedule than the home games. The home games are like all playoff teams and like.
Yeah.
Thunder, Boston, yeah. Cleveland, all that other stuff. And the road game.
Not marginal playoff teams either.
The ones.
Yeah.
And the road trip, actually, I think Cleveland's in there and Detroit's in there, but you got Charlotte and Washington again.
Mm-hmm.
So, man. And then also with that New Orleans game, losing to New Orleans in general was frustrating. But then you talk about the way you lost it. You had that game in the grasp of your palm. And you let it out. You let it get away.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they were up, what, 5 with 2 minutes to go, or 7 with 2.5 to go, or something like that. DeMar misses those shots. They couldn't get a stop. And then you're forced to go into overtime. And the way that game played out adds to the frustration. So I understand the frustration. But after yesterday, I kind of tried to pull back a little bit and look, hey, the stretch against teams that you had to take care of with your full roster when you finally got it. 5-2, I'll take that. I'll put it to you like this. If you would have told me at the beginning of the Pelicans game, you go 5-2 in that stretch, I'd be like, all right. Kind of wish it was 6-1, but I'll take 5-2. That's good.
Dale Christie now 17-10 as the Sacramento Kings head coach. As we outlined yesterday, they were 13-18 when he took over. 5 games under. Along the way, you know, 7 straight wins. Trade your franchise player. Deal with all of the fallout that comes with that. And still, you know, you go and get a polarizing player like Zach LaVine. You go and get another, offensive type player in Zach LaVine. And a player that you like, by the way, if you're Doug Christie, a player that you really like, and you're left to kind of, you know, juggle all of this. You're adding Valanciunas was a plus. We think adding Jake LaRavia is a plus. And, you know, you've got to figure this out all along the way. And then you mentioned, okay, well, since the new group has gotten here, they're 5-2. And, man, to me, above all else, that speaks to what Doug Christie is doing. It's not 7-0. We didn't think that the Kings were going to be able to maintain, you know, that level of playing when Doug took over, but it's what they desperately needed. They needed to dig out of that sub 500, you know, ditch they were in, and they did it. And he's been able to, at least as best he could, build, you know, try to build off of that. But 17-10, man, that's a solid record. And that's, you know, we said this yesterday, the domino is the front office. But to me, Doug has earned a chance to be this team's coach.
Well, man, think about this, man. He's got, in his tenure, he's got a 7-1 stretch and a 5-2 stretch.
Mm.
It's pretty good. And sandwiched in between there is the turmoil of your star player asking out and then playing shorthanded and then trying to add guys. You know, when they played bad, it wasn't like they were whole, you know what I'm saying, and they just were playing bad. There's always been something going on with Doug Christie's teams, and he's found a way to, like you said, get them to a 17-10 record under his tenure. That's pretty good, man. I think for a few different reasons, he, you know, for sure is going to be the Kings' next head coach. Number one, I think he deserves it. Number two, I think the Kings may be looking at if they're being real with themselves. Shout out TC.
Like, I think TC's on the line.
Oh, yeah. We'll get to you in a second, TC. But, like, being real with themselves, it's not a desirable job. You know, people were mad at you guys around the league. Coaches were mad at you guys around the league when you fired Mike Brown. So you may have to, and I don't say it, you know, disrespectful to Doug, but you may have to have Doug Christie be the coach, because there might be people out here like, nah, man, don't fool with Sacramento.
Does keeping Doug around but letting your front office go make your front off your GM job a lot less desirable?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a general manager is going to want to hire his coach. Mm-hmm.
Doug, I think, is the right coach for the Kings, but he's in a tough spot because it's it's almost as if, I don't know if he's tied to the front office or not, but it's like, if you keep Doug around and look for a GM, that's going to limit your search, I feel. Then you talked about it's talk gonna, about it, like you already have a rep as the Kings.
It's either going to limit your search or it's going to put Doug and the front office at odds immediately. Because if a general manager begrudgingly takes the job with the idea of, well, whenever he slips up, I could just fire Doug Christie. Mm-hmm. That sets, you know, whether it outwardly sets his relationship with Doug, you know, into a bad spot immediately. It might not happen outwardly, but he knows in the back of his head that's going to keep them at odds. Right. Doug's thinking the same thing.
Right.
This guy didn't hire me. He's going to want me out of here the first time I slip up. That's what this. Doug's got a lot of history in this organization to point to say that's what this organization does.
And it's like, if you keep Doug around and say you keep the front office around, say you don't get the results you want next year, it's like, all right, time to move on from the front office. It's like, are we moving on from Doug then? Like, you just held him for a season and a half and that's it?
Like, you hope not. Like, you, I mean,
Doug is absolutely the right guy if, like, this was like a rebuild, or like you kind of put him in an impossible situation.
You could. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough for everybody involved, because then you have to interview candidates. Like, if you're, I assume, Vivek, and you want Doug Christie to be your head coach, but you want to start the new front office off on the right foot, it's like, look, I'm hiring you to do a job. Now, I don't know that Vivek would actually do this, but I'm hiring you to do a job. I would like Doug Christie to be our head coach. He has my utmost support. However, I'm hiring you to do a job. If you want to conduct coaching interviews, you can conduct coaching interviews, but I need Doug to be the first and last one. Mm-hmm. If you decide he's not the right head coach for this team, I'd like an explanation why, but I'm going to trust you to make this decision. Now, as I'm acting this out loud, I realize immediately Vivek's going to hate this general manager if this general manager doesn't hire who he wants. So there's no scenario. I can't figure out a scenario where this is good unless a general manager comes in and goes, no, I really do love Doug Christie.
Mm. And how would he even know? How would that general manager even know that
watching.
Because he's bloody dead.
Or he knows. Yeah. Or he calls Isaiah Thomas. Well, I'm not trying. I'm kind of being funny, but not really.
Yeah, right.
Like, remember how Isaiah was raving about Doug Christie?
Yeah.
He was like, yo, when I found out I was in, I don't know what general manager talks like that, but like, yo, when I found out I was interviewing for this job, I called Isaiah. I called people who knew Doug Christie.
Hey, Vladdy, you want to come GM again?
Well, yeah, go ahead. Get your jokes off. It's all fun and games till the press release goes out. It's all fun and games till the press release goes out. Real quick, I want to get TC in here, but the 7-game stretch, I think we forget this. 7-game stretch includes wins over Dallas, Memphis, Golden State, Miami, Boston.
They were cooking.
They lose to Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. Come back, beat the Rockets, Wizards, and the Warriors again.
Mm.
That's a 10-1 stretch.
Mm.
Before they hit, that's 3, 4, 5, 6, their worst stretch of the season under Doug Christie, which is a 2-6 stretch.
And that was, that started on that road trip, huh?
Yeah.
And that's when everything started.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yes, that's exactly it. Let's get TC in here. 916-909-1320, Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. What's up, TC?
What's up, my two?
TC, what's good, baby?
Oh, man, just vibing, fired up about that game. Zach got people remembering who he is, right? Not saying that we wasn't saying he was a scrub, but he's reminding everybody that he's a dog, right? I like that, man, for sure. JV coming.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
Do. Malik throwing alley hoops from half court, bro. Hey, I'm for it. Listen, D-Lo, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to take us on a downfall because everybody laughing at us, right? We was laughing at people in the beginning, Warriors, and then they found their step. Now they laughing at us. We going to have the last laugh, bro, by making the playoffs. Mark my word.
That boy TC talking that talk. I like that, TC. Yeah.
We appreciate you, TC. We'll come back. Sarah Hodges is here. This is exciting. I had no idea you were going to be here.
I didn't know you were going to be here either.
Like,
I thought you were going.
No, it's all good. No, it's a true story.
Did y'all say
1:15
today?
No, boy. See, it doesn't matter. You're here. We're going to have some fun. Sarah, I don't even know where Sarah Hodges be at anymore. Stilo and KC here on ESPN 1320. Sarah Hodges is in the building
with us. Yeah.
Crazy.
Where have you been?
I've been up and down the 80, going from SAC to San Francisco, working in the Bay now. I'm not at CBS anymore. Sad. I'm sure if you guys watch, you probably have noticed. I know you guys know that. Or if you follow me on social media, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just been like going to the Bay, working there.
Big Draymond Green girl over here.
Yeah, I'm with the ops now. I know that hurts. It stings a little bit, you know, but... No, it's a big opportunity for me to be, you know, in a top 10 market. So I'm super excited. I'm anchoring there. I am with the ops. I know that's hard. I cover the Warriors now, but at least I'm still covering the 49ers, Giants.
What kind of consolation prize is that?
Well, that's a little bit. You guys, 49ers,
you know, I'm a Niner fan, but we talking hoop right now.
That's fine.
And like you said, you are with the ops.
I am with the ops. It's been fun watching the Warriors as of late. Definitely.
They're good.
Better. Yeah, they're good. Yeah. They definitely are.
I saw you were all over the place for All-Star Weekend. How was that?
It was fun. The celebrity game was lit. Like, I did the green carpet. So, you know, it's like the red carpet mock, but it's the green carpet. And so I knew Jerry Rice, Barry Bonds were going to be coaching against each other. So I already knew my storyline was going to be like, who's the bigger Bay Area GOAT, right? Jerry Rice, Barry Bonds. I had so much fun with everybody, like, on the green carpet talking about it. The celebrities, there were, like, the amount of research and studying I had to do for this green carpet event, because the celebrities were like YouTubers or TikTok stars.
All I knew was Shaboozy. I was like, hey, that's Shaboozy. And that was about it.
Shaboozy, I didn't even get to him. I'm so sad. He did like the first like four people. And when I tell you, like, I did my homework, I studied each person, and like I had like note cards with their picture on them, because the only people I really knew were Terrell Owens, Jerry Rice, Barry Bonds. Besides that, like, if you're not playing sports, I probably don't know you. And it's like country stars and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it was cool getting to know everybody. Drewski was funny as heck. Like, he has these auditions that he does on YouTube where, like, you know, he'll have somebody walk in and then he just starts roasting them. And so I wanted him to roast me. I thought, like, this is going to be so much fun. Like, you know, for me, like, even with the comments, the chatty house, like, I don't care. Like, I just, like, don't take things personally. I grew up with all brothers, so, like, super thick skin. But Drewski, so I'm like, I go up to him. I'm like, okay, All-Star Edition, like, roast me. And he was like, he couldn't roast me. He, like, wouldn't do it.
He was frozen, huh?
He was frozen. And I was like, is this the first time you've been not able to talk? Because usually he just, like, roasts everybody. But it was fun. Terrell Owens was great.
Well, more importantly, who is the Bay Area GOAT? Is it Barry, Jerry, or Steph?
Ooh.
That's tough. My first thought would have to be Jerry.
Just because of, like, the rings he brought, maybe?
The rings he brought. And there was a discussion on Twitter the other day. Like,
wild.
He's the best football player ever.
Yeah. And I asked him about, like, what his contract would look like if it was, like, 2025 Jerry in his prime. And he was like, he was like $400 million.
Oh, shut up, Jerry. wide receivers don't make that money. The better question is, what would Barry's look like?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Barry would sign, like, a $1 billion contract.
If Barry signed, well, he was great in his entire career. But if he signed after 2001, that was, like, a contract year. Mm. Oh, man.
And that's another thing. Like, I think these athletes, you know, from that era are proud that they played in that era, but they have to be a little bit frustrated about the money.
Oh, like, for sure.
There's no way you're telling me different. Like, Jerry tried to say that. Like, he was like, you know, I love my era football. I'm like, Jerry, I love you, but we both know that you will want the bag. Like, come on.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way.
Yeah.
I know I would.
It's crazy, though, with all three of those guys, they're the best at what they did. Like, Jerry's the greatest wide receiver ever, might be the best football player ever. Mm-hmm. Barry Bonds is the best baseball player that's ever lived, in my opinion. Steph is the greatest shooter we've ever seen, and inarguably one of the greatest basketball players we've ever seen. Inarguably the greatest shooter we've ever seen.
Yeah.
And they all played 90 minutes from here. That's crazy.
And we didn't even, we didn't even mention Montana.
And the cool thing about Jerry is,
I don't think he's in the conversation.
He's great.
He's great.
We talk about, like, we've narrowed down to Steph being the greatest shooter of all time. Yeah. Outside of Brady, that's probably the greatest quarterback to ever play.
Yeah.
Montana.
Yeah.
You know, that's the Bay Area.
What I was going to say about Jerry, too, is he did it for both Bay Area teams. So
he did.
That's
y'all really trying to stake claim.
Who wouldn't?
Well, somewhere Seahawks fans are like, yeah, that's who. Oh, that's our guy.
I know.
I'm just saying, we're saying Bay Area legend. He played for both teams in the Bay Area.
He did. Took them both to the Super Bowl.
Right.
Only one with one, though. But, you know, that's a whole nother. I ain't here to get into specifics.
Well, that's why he says that he is better than Barry. Like, that's why he's the greater GOAT.
He might be. He's the greatest football player to ever play. And he's got the rings. Barry ain't got the rings, man.
Exactly. That was the whole argument.
But Barry, my boy. That's my boy. I know you talked to Jerry before. That was your first time talking to Barry Bonds?
Oh my gosh. So Barry wouldn't do the interview on the green carpet. He was like saying no. I think like one or two people got the interview with him just out of like luck, right? And so I was kind of frustrated because I really wanted my storyline to be like them talking trash and then me going back and forth of them like trash talking. Mm-hmm. But since I didn't get Barry, I was like, ah, oh, this isn't going to be as good as I wanted it to be, you know? But because other people spoke on it, it was fine. But after the game and Barry won, I went up to him and tried to get an interview. And he's like, oh, like you could tell he didn't really want to do the interview with me. And I don't know if it was his wife, his girlfriend. I just don't know. But she was like, oh, like pointing to me. And he was like, oh, you know, I don't do this. And I just started talking to him, like basically like trash talking, like what Jerry was saying, you know, just to kind of get him hyped, get him more comfortable. And then he did. So he did the post game interview with me. I'm pretty sure I was the only one who got him after the celebrity game, after the win. So I did it after.
Yeah.
And he posted me on his Instagram, which was crazy. I was like, this is insane. You know, my family was so ecstatic about it. They're like, Barry Bonds, like, what the heck? Like, this is crazy. So little things like that. I think it was like, so All-Star Weekend's obviously like such a time to like have fun, like, you know, but I was working and mentally I was just like, I just want work to go really, really well. Like I go out all the time. Like I could care less about the partying. Like, yeah, it's fun, but like, I just want work to be like magic for me. And I felt like it was. So that was just, you know, the best part.
That's awesome.
That was, I don't even know why I'm doing this myself. I don't think Sarah was at the Steph party.
Did you not go?
No, tell her why you didn't go. No, tell her how you left your charger or something at a hotel room and didn't
my
go.
My phone was about to die. I thought I had been charging it. I wasn't. And Bonte hit me up like, yo, I'm about to pick you up.
He was at the after party with me. Like after the Steph party, there was another party we went to.
He was supposed to pick me up. And he was like, yeah, I'm about to come get you.
Yeah.
And my phone was, I didn't want to be in San Francisco with no charge.
Why? You only went out one night, right?
Yeah, I was only out there, yeah, one night.
You're tripping. You should have just went with no phone.
I should have.
I feel like this is my first All-Star Weekend, and so I wanted to, obviously, like I said, my work to be good, but I also wanted to, like, play a little bit because I know that, like, we're not going to get this opportunity very often. So it was fun. It was okay. The Steph party was cool. Too Short performed. You know, that was legendary for me. I was, like, right in front of him, so it was so much fun. Like, I was raised on Too Short. My stepdad, like, loves him. So I took a picture and video and sent it to my dad, and he was, like, so excited.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
That's what's up, man. Sarah.
So you having a good time?
Just in life?
In the Bay Area? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The Bay Area is cool. Like, it's a bit of a drive because I'm still living here in Sac, but the times that I go to work, it's just naturally perfect because I leave here around 1. There's no traffic. I get there like hour 30, and then I leave so late, there's no traffic. So it's like an hour and 30 each way. I just listen to music, get my mind right, make some phone calls, whatever, you know? Hour and 30 just goes.
Yeah.
And the people I work with are so cool.
That's dope.
It's different. You know what I mean? Like, it's... I think here in SAC, like, I wore so many hats, you know? I'm editing, I'm producing, I'm writing, and then I'm putting on my makeup and rushing to set. Like, Raiders games get done, I'm sending the highlights, I'm rushing to set, straightening up, like, hoping the video sends and everything's good because there's nobody that's going to save me. Mm-hmm. It's only me to save myself. I mean, maybe Jake obviously helped me out a little bit, but, like, there's been plenty of times that I did highlights just cold because my scripts, I forgot to click out. If you don't click out... because I'm updating scores and stuff, then it freezes, so there will be nothing in the highlights. Luckily, I'm a Raiders fan, and I pretty much know everybody, so it's fine. But, like, you know, it could be a little bit nerve-wracking. Right. So I have help there.
My whole, the whole original crew I started TV with left.
I know. Marshall's about to be back here for the opening day.
I wish. What? We just talked to him. Did he say that?
You know she sounded like, and I'm gonna have to change her name. Sarah Fox. That's what she's like.
Why?
She's like, oh yeah, you know, it's just so much different here. And
okay, let me tell you the difference between me and De'Aaron Fox.
Oh god.
Okay. First of all, since we're on the subject of this. I've worked in how many different markets? Let's say just throwing it out there, 6. Mississippi, Alabama. All my producers, people that I don't even talk to anymore, I would never unfollow them on social media. I don't care. They were a part of my journey. They were a part of my life. They're my support system. They got me through difficult times. Like, to me, like, and this is like no shade, De'Aaron can do whatever he wants. I'm just saying that's the difference. Like, I would never do that. All those people I met along the way, you know, I'm away from my family. I'm away from all my friends. Like, I spent Christmases and Thanksgiving with them, and So I would just never do that. Mm. You know, if you're in my life, you're in my life. Like, you're like, we're locked in for life.
So you think that meant something?
Like, I just think, like, that right away, like, it was just, I could see, like, if you, like, a year goes by or something like that, and maybe they just don't talk anymore, like, I could see, like, maybe I would be a little bit more comfortable or understanding of that, but, like, to do it so soon, like, tad bit of a shot, in my eyes, he explained it different, and that's fine, like, I take people at face value for the most
De'Aaron's
part, so.
Afraid to stand on business. Mm. Just do it, like.
Just say I don't mess
with them. I unfollow people. Why? Because I don't like them. Unfollow. I don't need to see your stupid ass story with your stupid ass shirt anymore. Unfollow. We good.
I'm sure you're talking about somebody. I still work with them.
I still work with them. Unfollow. I don't want to see your stupid ass stories. But like, De'Aaron, I just don't want to see it. Or, oh, no, we're friends. Like, bro, just stand on business.
Yeah. So, whatever. I guess that's the difference between me and you, Damien, right, too. It's just, you know.
Oh, no, these hoes aren't a part of my journey. No, that's different. Okay. No, these hoes ain't a part of my journey. Just because they work here, they ain't a part of my journey.
No, I got you.
They just here in the building.
Right.
Taking up oxygen at this point.
Taking up oxygen.
That's all they doing.
I like your little scruffy.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't seen each other.
It's like low-key, like blonde. It's gray, but you have different shades here going on.
It's why I never did it, because it's like 50 colors. And now we pull up a video from a year ago, and it's like, oh, wow, that looks crazy. It looks crazy. So now it works.
It absolutely works.
Yeah. Not to get off subject of the sports.
There is no subject on this show. No. We ride.
Just about everything.
We ride.
Even though you're in the Bay, you still following the Kings. Like, how do you feel about them post De'Aaron? Like, do you like the team? Do you like Zach LaVine? Or what you thinking?
So, I think I do like Zach LaVine. And I think, like, with De'Aaron, I do feel like his ceiling is a bit more high, like, just because of his speed and stuff. But, like, the difference, I would say, like, I feel like, in the small sample size that we have, right? Like, it seems like Zach LaVine is a little bit more of a leader. And I think that that's important and sort of a little bit what the Kings were missing. You know, I didn't really see De'Aaron much as a leader. Like, he's a playmaker, but I feel like he's just kind of to himself. Like, he's a to himself type person. He's a different type of dude. Mm-hmm. He just is. And I don't know that, like, everybody can really understand that. And, you know, I don't know that he's, like, maybe the most likable person ever. Not that that, like, really matters on the court, but it kind of does because of the people that you're playing with. You know, you want guys to believe in you, be inspired by you. I know, like, him and Keegan had, like, a great relationship and all that. But as a whole, I just feel like, you know, Zach LaVine so far, what it seems like is he's doing better for the team. Just, you know, as being a leader. Obviously, lately, the last two games, what we've seen out of him, like, I'm sure, like, fans and people were a little bit worried because, like I said, like before, we had a small sample size. It took him a little bit, you know, like you have a new guy coming in, getting used to the system, you know, it's going to take some time. So if they're able to do what they've been able to do the past two games, you know, I know maybe the teams aren't as good. Mm-hmm. You know, you kind of question, like, okay, like they, what was, they won by like 40 point or
beat the hell out of 42. Charlotte.
Out of Charlotte. Yeah, yeah. Obviously Charlotte's one of the worst teams in the league. So like, mentally, you're like, okay, is it because they're so trash? But at the same time, like, I would see it as a positive because there's a lot of times that the Kings would lose games like that against trash teams.
Yeah, you can't
and
take those for
fact
granted.
Yep. Of what they did in the fourth quarter, it was like 23-3 run, 25-3 run, something like that. Like, that's not something that you see every day with the Kings. So, you know, I like it. Like, I like what I've seen the last two games. Obviously, consistency will be the difference maker down the stretch. So we'll see if they're able to be consistent. Turnovers are a little bit of a thing, especially with, you know, Malik and a little bit with Domas and stuff. So, but, you know, those things happen.
How closely have you been following this Kings season? Because we always talk like this is our third season this year.
Yeah.
The Mike Brown season, the Doug Christie season, and now the post De'Aaron Fox season. It's all happened since October.
That's a lot that's going on.
It is a lot that's been going on. I mean, I've been following them as much as I can. Like, obviously, I read a bunch and I cover the Warriors and they play each other a lot. And I'm interested. Like, I have interest in the Kings, right? Like, I covered them for so many years. So I'm always, like, checking in and just kind of seeing how things go. But, yeah.
You think they can make it through with this? Because it feels like the Warriors are going in a certain direction.
Yeah.
I don't know that the Kings are going down. I don't really know if the Kings are going up, down, or just kind of moving along with the season right now.
Yeah.
Do you think they can keep up? And
When I was like looking at the standings today, kind of just refreshing everything since there's been a few games since I've worked last, I think it's like a play-in opportunity is definitely there. Like them making the playoffs, like I just don't see it, especially with just, you know, how the Warriors are playing. I don't see the Warriors.
You mean making the top six? Or
no.
Winning through the play-in?
No, I don't see them making the top six.
Like, yeah, I got you.
I see them making the play-in. Mm-hmm. And especially the way, like, the Warriors' schedule, the second half of their schedule is extremely easy. Yeah. And the way that, you know, Jimmy Butler has, like, changed the way that they look, I don't see, like, if it's going to be, you know, the Kings or the Warriors in that respect. Like, I see the Warriors definitely playing better down the stretch. And, you know, I don't even know that the Warriors are going to be a top six team. Like, I don't know that. Like, it's just, it's hard to say.
I kind of think they're poised for the top six. You know, the Clippers, who have had a good season.
Yeah.
I can see them sliding enough, not falling off the face of the earth, but sliding enough. You talked about the Warriors and the schedule that they have remaining. It is pretty easy. I think it's one of the bottom third schedules as far as strength of set schedule goes left this year. And they're playing good. They're feeling good about themselves. Mm. So I could see them sliding into that sixth spot, taking the Clippers out of it.
Yeah.
And like we've talked about here, one of the things that we're really just hoping for with the Kings, if they can't miraculously get into the sixth seed, is just being a 7-8 game.
Yeah.
Give it a situation where one win gets you in, and you've got, worst case scenario, you've got two chances to get one win.
Yeah.
So,
and I think that's possible. Yeah. You know, it's just, sports is funny because it's just kind of one of those things where you can have this like opinion and think like this is for sure going to happen, and then anything can happen. Mm-hmm. You know, so anything can happen.
Yeah.
You know, you just never know.
Well, and
there's
so
many
much
factors.
It, yeah, and we're basing it off of nothing. Mm. Like Jimmy's fit with Golden State, when we first saw that, it was like, okay, it's fine. Doesn't move me at all. Then you see it, and it's like, oh, okay, they're pretty good. Then you realize Jimmy's got that like thing happening where he's like, I needed to get out of there. By the way, we're going to talk about your boy Riles later. There needs to be a discussion about your boy.
Oh, my boy.
When I heard the cookie story this morning, I was like, hey, we gotta talk. But You can see like he's away from Miami and he's like, oh, he's locked.
Yeah.
He's that Jimmy Butler again. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, now we're trying to figure out things with Zach LaVine and, you know, him with DeMar again, but now Domas this time. And then you got the Malik component. None of this is based off anything that we've seen.
Right.
We've seen Zach LaVine with the Bulls. We've seen Jimmy Butler with the Heat. And we're all trying to figure out what it means. Right. And I mean the Warriors are a prime example of, sometimes these dudes just need to get out of a spot.
I think for him too, it's like personal, like what you're saying. Like
absolutely.
Everything that went down there, how it went down there, it's like he has something to prove. And I think we're seeing that. Like even with Jimmy, like he's staying later in practice. He's showing up earlier in practice. Like that matters.
Yeah.
And he's proving to his team that he's locked in. He's ready to go. Also, I think for him, like, you know, you're with Steph and Draymond. Like, you know, you don't, what are you going to tell them?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing you're going to be able to tell. Steve Kerr, there's nothing you're going to be able to say. Get out there, work hard, win a championship with them. Like, that's the goal. That's what he wants to do. And I feel like sort of like, not fully comparison, but like with the Luka stuff, like just what, you know, Dallas was like talking about him being like, oh, you know, he drinks beers and hookah and this and that. Like, he better take that personally, not just because I'm a Lakers fan, but like that, they're basically like smearing your name, saying that you're nothing, saying that you don't care.
Yeah.
So it's like, you better step up and show up early, lose that weight, do whatever you got to do to prove them wrong. Cause if not, you're going to prove them right.
Yeah.
And so I think that's kind of like Jimmy's take is like, he's not going to prove them right. Like he's going to prove them wrong. And he's unselfish, you know? And I like Jimmy. I always have, but you know.
And the situation with Jimmy, he's got a learning curve that's a little different because Steph is there and they're doing they're not asking him to come in here and lead the team like he was in Miami. Get in where you fit in. Be a hard-nosed defender. Do the little things here and there. We still need you to score a little bit, but comparing that to, like, Zach LaVine, like, yo, Zach, we need 25 a night.
Yeah.
We need you to hit 45% of your threes like you did in Chicago. That's asking a lot in this transition period.
But he's been efficient as of late.
Yeah, but it took him a little while, right? Yeah. Like, Jimmy, the Warriors got Jimmy, and they started cooking immediately. The teams they were playing, Jimmy's role and everything that was going on over there, Zach LaVine, it might have taken a little time because the role he was asked to play might have been a little bit different than what Jimmy was. And I think it's great for Jimmy to be in Golden State. And he probably feels like he's got a lot of pressure off of him. You know, he doesn't have to carry a franchise anymore. He could just go out there, be whatever they need that night.
And I think, like, you just hit it on the nose, and what Damian's point was earlier is, like, there's so many question marks around this Kings team, right? Like, so that's kind of the problem. There is some with the Warriors, but, like, almost Jimmy fixed that. He was, like, the answer, but there's still a lot with the Kings moving forward, like, you know, with Malik, with Dome, like, just little things. So I think, it's just they're a lot more, like, more of a veteran team. They have it figured out, and I think with the Kings, there's just still a lot to figure out. So,
yeah.
Your reaction when the tweet came through from Shams Charania that said Luka Doncic has been traded to the Los Angeles Lakers was what?
I just got off set, literally, going upstairs, and I was like, oh my gosh, there's no way this is real. There's no way this is real. Like, I just didn't believe it. And then more information just started to come. I just was like, I was dumbfounded. I was like, okay, how do I feel about this? Like, okay, sit down. Like, how, you know, because at first, my first reaction was like, heck yeah, let's go. Like, you know, one of the best players in the league coming to the Lakers, you know, just the type of scorer he is. LeBron kind of needs that, whatever.
Yeah.
Then it started singing like, okay, AD's gone. You know, what does this mean, like, defensively for us? Like, you know, so you kind of just go through the, you know, the pros and cons, like I'm sure y'all did with De'Aaron. For me with De'Aaron.
No, we didn't.
No, yeah. I was gonna say, for me with De'Aaron, it was like he didn't even want to be here. So, like, I think that's kind of
Sorry.
It's okay.
That was petty.
I mean, we're talking, like, I don't know, it's crazy because De'Aaron's really all I know since I've worked
here.
But yeah, no, I was ecstatic when I saw Luka was coming to LA.
You think they can win a championship this year?
The Lakers?
Mm-hmm.
I think so. I think they can. It's tough.
I think
7-game series, like,
I'm getting,
you know,
there.
Yeah, they're
not
looking
quite
good.
There, but yeah, I'm getting there.
Yeah, I've been impressed.
Really, he's balling,
and he's been stepping it up.
Yeah.
It's like he hit a switch, and then it's just been like he found his confidence. He found his stride.
Austin Reeves has a switch. God damn it, man.
He even get thrown out of games like he is a superstar.
He sure did.
He's hooping now.
I'm not
mad at it, obviously.
We only got a couple more minutes left, but okay. Sarah Hodges pulls up. Got to talk a little Raiders, man.
Yeah.
You want Shador?
I wouldn't mind it. You know what's interesting? I was reading that, like, he, during the draft, may not throw because he wants, you know, these teams to, like, learn his personality. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an interesting point because if I were to – the only issue I have with him is kind of, like, that, like, confidence is good. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, you have to have supreme confidence, especially, like, when you play ball at that type of level, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, almost, like, I don't like it when it's, like – when it's too much confidence to where, like, it's affecting the people around you, or, like, every single article is about, like, beef, you know, or something like that. Like, and I know that's kind of interesting coming from a Raiders fan, since, like, that's all we do is, like, you know, draft and get questionable players who have, like, a lot of maybe, like, a dark cloud over them a lot of the times.
Jesus.
But I would like to kind of go away from that. But, like, the efficiency, right? He doesn't have a great offensive line. Neither do the Raiders. Mm-hmm. He's able to make plays when it comes to that respect. Like, so there's a lot of similarities that I see where I'm like, okay, I'm down. Because if he's able to, like, you know, make plays, you know, out of the pocket, be a bit of a dual threat, I think the Raiders kind of need a dual threat. Like, I don't think, like, they could be like a one-dimensional quarterback where it's just like, okay, an efficient thrower. Like, no, like...
Yeah.
I don't know how well that would work for them.
The latest thing I saw is that they're saying he won't get past the Giants now.
Mm.
They can't make up their mind.
They can't.
That's another thing. Is like, will we even have the opportunity to get him? That's like a whole other thing. Yeah. And I think if I'm not going quarterback, I'm probably going to go like maybe like corner. Our secondary is just so weak.
Mm. Quarterbacks move up. without fail, the closer we get to the draft.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah.
Every single time. It is so wonderful to see you. I'm so, it was a nice surprise that you're here.
Really?
In the studio.
Yeah. Sorry for surprising y'all.
No, it's all good.
I didn't know you guys were going to have me over the Zoom.
Well,
oh, that's what
I don't but ask I, questions.
I didn't ask questions. I assumed that. So okay. that's on me.
Okay. It's all good. I'm here.
Thrilled
with y'all.
Here. I'm
I appreciate
so happy
you guys.
This is
having
better
me.
Though. This is a lot.
Sarah Hodges of ABC7 in San Francisco. Man.
Oh, tomato.
Our girl Sarah will come back. Much more to talk about, including Joel Embiid.
Oh boy. Mm.
Still haven't sent that press release out yet. CeeLo and KC on ESPN 1320. A big thanks again to Sarah Hodges for coming in to hang out with us. It's been a while since we've put both on the radio and in real life that we've got to spend time with her, man. So thrilled that she was able to come spend some time with us and thrilled that we got our man Mitch on the line. Mitch, what's happening, brother?
How's it going, Dame? KC, what's happening?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Doing pretty well. I miss work sometimes. At least the dogs.
Well, no doubt, no doubt.
And giving people a hard time. You know, I have a tendency to rile people up, but that's just me. Little Ray, is that I think it's just Matt Stafford will cause something. Either go for Sam Darnold, even Aaron Rodgers. You got to get a quarterback in this draft. I think Sam is going to fall. But if not, you might have to get a little aggressive to get Jackson Dart. From USC.
It's your boy.
He played 1 year, then he had to leave. Some guy named Caleb Williams came by. And you know how I feel about Caleb Williams, but I think Jackson Dart, I think he's going to want to be picking the first round.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. What you think about the Kings? So you got something you want to say about the Kings?
No, Devin Carter, what's going on? I mean, you picked – supposedly he was the 13th best guy in the draft. You picked him over the Silva, Kinect. You picked him over him. Let's see what you got. You need a point guard now, and all you seem to be drafting is point guards. We have two guys, homegrown guys from the last 10 years. You draft people to keep them, not to trade them in 3 years.
Words of wisdom.
It's good not strategy.
Wrong. Yeah.
You draft them to keep them.
You figure you draft the 13th best player in the draft, and he can play for you, but he's not.
Well, he scored 34 in Stockton, Jesse. So now what?
Mitch didn't say anything wrong.
Yeah, no.
You know, I did hear.
Technically, no, he didn't.
I did hear today, this morning, that Sam Darnold is a possible option. I know you hate that for Sam.
No, I saw that. I don't like it for anybody.
Not even for the Raiders.
I feel like Sam on a team that is. It's all right. They got something right here. Like, okay, I could see it. That's not the Raiders, unless there's the only scenario where that is for the Raiders is you have a near perfect draft. And I don't even know if that's real. That's asking a lot. I don't even know if that's real. Who has a perfect draft? I'm sure they exist or something close to it, but you need to hit, like, I don't know how many picks the Raiders have. I'll just say 6 for argument's sake. I don't know. You got to hit on 3 of them.
Yeah.
Like, you need 3 starters.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah, right, at the very least. You need 3 starters, and you probably need 3 offensive starters. Okay. Like, and if that's the route you're going, you're maybe, you know, I don't know their financial situation. I don't know any football team's financial situation.
I know Cleveland's.
But, well, that's true. That is very true. But the Sam Darnold thing, it's the conversation to me is the same as if it's Matt Stafford. Mm. The difference is Darnold's younger. Mm-hmm. So Stafford might be better, but your Stafford timeline, it's like now, like, what do you expect to accomplish? Because you need to do something now, and you'll have to draft a quarterback at some point in the next year anyways.
Yeah.
So there's multiple, like, scenarios for the Raiders. I don't hate the Sam Darnold idea. I don't think it's his best option. I don't know what all of his options are, but just looking at the landscape, I don't think it's the best one.
Yeah.
And I don't know that that's the best move for the Raiders unless – and the thing that throws a wrench into all is if the Raiders are at 6 and they look and they go through this and they go, well, here's a scenario where this quarterback is here. We don't like him. Mm-hmm. What if things break differently and this quarterback is here? I don't really love that guy either. And you start getting through these top quarterbacks, like realistic targets for them, and you go, like, that's not our guy. Then you just throw your hands up and go, well, who is on the top of your draft board?
Yeah.
And if it's a running back, a receiver, a defensive, if it's something else, we'll do it. And then try Sam Darnold, try Matt Stafford, try, you know, whatever else might be out there for you.
The one thing that I worry about for the Raiders in taking a Shador Sanders, or I don't think Cam will be there, but a Cam Moore type guy, is are they ready to have a young quarterback like that? What I mean by that is like the roster around them. We see, I don't think they're this bad, so this might be a bad example. But we see there's nothing in Carolina, and Bryce Young almost got his career destroyed.
That's
in
right.
2 years.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that to one of these young quarterbacks. Like I said, I don't think they're as bad as Carolina roster-wise, but they're closer to that than they are Philly or something like that. So you wonder if, okay, as much as we like Shador or whatever first round quarterback, maybe we're just not ready to take that guy. Let's take a Sam Darnold and let's take a Jackson Dart in the second round where he doesn't have to come in and play right away. We've got Sam for a year, maybe 2 years, or Stafford or anybody like that. And not only are you probably better right now, but you're also kind of protecting that quarterback and letting him learn a little bit.
The Stafford Brady ski lodge story crazy.
Oh,
like, I don't know what I would do.
This is getting illegal.
Better relax,
real quick.
I don't know what.
Oh, well, did we hear the other story about it?
Well, yeah, the other one. There's another one.
But that's all tied to it, right?
The Ian Jordan Schultz story.
Oh yeah, that's all tied to this.
That's not, I don't even know what I would do if
two-piece with a coffee cake.
If we're having a show meeting at a, you know, drinking coffee, and all of a sudden Ian Rappaport and Jordan Schultz are nose to nose, and Jordan Schultz yelling at him, yo, you do this again, there's going to be a problem.
So Ian, Jordan was saying he stole it from him or something?
So that's what I thought at first. I don't think so.
What I was reading is that Jordan Schultz was ahead of this. Like the Tom Brady
Schultz
Stafford thing was his, right?
Had the first report that Brady and Stafford met at a ski lodge, and he framed it as a planned meeting. Brady was hosting him. They were there together.
Jordan said that.
Okay. Rappaport hits the Stafford Brady by chance met at a ski lodge. This was not an arranged meeting. Brady was not hosting, as others have reported.
So I think Brady's agent put that they live in the same community right there, that little whatever rich people call it.
And apparently a lot of, you probably have a lodge there. Like a lot of rich people live there.
Yes.
And have ski lodges there.
Exactly.
You just are here with us because it's basketball
He's
season.
Rich.
I'm so rich. This is about you right now, pal.
So I guess Schultz confronted him at Starbucks. By the way, Jordan Schultz is Howard Schultz's son.
Who's Howard Schultz?
The owner of Starbucks.
Really?
The CEO, yes.
So meet me on my turf.
Oh my God.
Meet me on my side.
Jordan's not getting thrown out of Starbucks.
Oh, snap.
So Schultz goes nose to nose with him, talking about, if you do that again, there's going to be a problem. And Ian Rappaport's basically like, okay, bro, settle down. Like, relax. He's like, no. He told him to back up. He was like, no. Do that again, and you and I are going to have a problem. And I guess he backed up then. And apparently there's reporters, there's athletes.
Ian called for security as well.
And
I want that out there. Ian Rappaport called for security.
And then
see, that's a bad job by Ian. Because I think Ian is kind of short or something. So maybe he doesn't, you know, have the same bravado. Let Jordan Schultz get in my face. I ain't even no fighter like that. I wish Jordan Schultz would get in my face.
You can't call
in
security.
That situation. Slap the fire out of Jordan Schultz. You crazy? Are you for a story? That's a story, bro. It's a story. Maybe you broke it or whatever. People called me or I called around and they told me their version of the story. You don't own the damn story at that point. You can't say nothing on this show.
It's crazy.
You can't even speak on this show, man. This is crazy.
What? What'd you say?
Boy.
What? What?
Lord.
What did you say?
First of all, I was speaking as Ian Rappaport. This is not Kenny Caraway who was speaking.
Well, but Ian Rappaport about to call security on you.
Oh, man, you can't say nothing on this show. That was
no, you can't say that on this show. Funny.
Oh, well, man. Well, look, bottom line is, I'd slap the fire out of Jordan Schultz.
Did we dump that?
Yeah. You running out the room was Kofi. All right, Pines, get rid of that. Shout out YouTube. You guys got that one.
Oh,
back,
man.
Hold on.
Oh, man.
It's a, what? A double tag.
Oh,
double
no.
Tag.
Oh,
and, oh, gosh.
Oh, my gosh. I got real tears, man. I got real tears.
So I'm not clear.
Oh, man.
So I guess Jordan was really offended at the not as reported elsewhere line.
Oh, that's what set him off.
Well, like, it's not that, like, because if Jordan gets the story, Jordan can get the story because he's there. He can get the story because someone at Starbucks told him, like, you could get he could have gotten the story from anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Florio. Someone, I read it on Pro Football Talk. I think it was Rappaport talking to Florio, or something. Maybe Florio, like, investigating it on his own.
The instigator.
But he was like, all accounts are Florio got it from, Rappaport got it from an agent. Probably Brady's agent, mm-hmm. who probably recognized this is illegal,
mm.
because mm-hmm. Brady isn't a team. This is illegal,
right?
So
it's essentially, when the Miami Dolphins tried meeting with Tom Brady when he was a player at the yacht,
except didn't the Rams give Matt Stafford permission to talk to other teams?
They did.
Like, what exactly does that mean? Like, does that mean the team has to call the Rams, and then the Rams say, like, yeah, okay?
Can the owner talk directly to the player, or does the owner have to go through the agent?
Bro, I don't know.
That's what I was thinking, where the issue might be is they gave – the wording was probably they gave Matt Stafford permission to seek the trade, but maybe the understanding was, I'm giving your representation. Go seek a trade. Go find them. You can negotiate it that way. You can't talk to the guy personally. But at the same time, if I'm the Rams, like, regardless of the particulars of what I said, I'm giving you the option to go find a trade. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to file a grievance or anything else like that, because you're doing what I told you you could do.
Well, that's kind of like just the code for it, too, is like, so-and-so, like, the Niners are allowing Deebo Samuel to go seek out a trade, but mm-hmm. like, in actuality, it's his agent that's right. going and looking for all this stuff. Right. So I think there is an official way you have to go about it. I'd have to look it up. I don't think, like, you can talk directly to the player. Crazy.
Is that Ian Rappaport and Jordan Schultz squaring up over there? Hey, get Kenny's white mocha. Are they about to go?
Man, that's crazy that happened. That I wish I was nuts. There for that. Ian calls security.
I think Schefter took a picture of the logo, that Starbucks logo. He's like, head on a swivel, people.
Oh, snap. Goes down at that combine, boy.
You don't mess with these media people.
Jordan was wild for that. But I've seen Jordan on Instagram a couple of times. That doesn't surprise me. He seems a little aggressive.
I don't know. Your boy Jay connected me with Jordan once, or not once, several times, like on the in a previous life. I thought he was a good reporter, good dude to talk to.
No, he seems good. I just it just didn't surprise, and I don't know him at all.
If you felt,
I don't think he needs to fight Ian Rappaport or anything.
If you felt
but,
someone was trying to undermine your reporting, would you go confront them about it if you saw them?
Because
in reality, that's what he did.
Pal, you're asking the wrong person.
Well, I know you would. You probably, yeah.
I'm right. About to confront someone over using pocket watching on this show in the wrong way.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's absolutely refreshing!
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.